Hey, good morning, everybody. It's 7:41, September 20th. Yeah, welcome to the podcast. I'm gonna walk Bud here. We're at the gate, and I just thought I'd give a little temperature update. It's beautiful out this morning. It's 73 degrees, 36% humidity, and that means our dew point is at 73, 36. Did I say 44? Wow, I gotta double check that. Was it, did I say 36? Yeah, the humidity went up a 4% in the last hour. But anyway, still 44 on the dew point in Phoenix, and it's dang, nice blue sky, sun's up. Bud's ready for a walk. I wasn't sure I was gonna do this podcast because the last couple of days, like yesterday, my wife wanted to walk along with, so I've not done a podcast with my wife. Of course, she doesn't know I do any podcasts. All these secrets I keep from my wife, man. These secrets, these podcasts. Jeez. Sarcastic, man. Do I need to tell her? I don't know. I don't think so. It's embarrassing, right? Podcasts. It's the things we say, think. It's the things we think, but do not podcast. Yeah. So this title of this podcast is going to be Neuroticism. Yeah. Neuroticism and the Big Five personalities. So I had a little experience with that the last 36 hours. And I made some discoveries, and personality. So, I kind of like self-awareness studies, personal, some people call it personal development, and I'm probably like OD'd on that stuff. I probably like just like way into it too much. And I would probably say 95% of the people in the world, maybe even higher percent, maybe 99%, don't even think about these things. Personality is something we experience, I would say, more than anything in our interactions. Like you meet somebody and you know, you maybe spend 30 minutes with them. You may spend 30 minutes with somebody once a month for a year, and you sort of develop a perception of their personality. And so these are interesting, right? And we think personality is fixed. At least I do. I mean, you know, you take a test and like some of these things I'm kind of influenced by like Myers-Briggs, you know. It's like, well, you can take the test, you know, every 6 months and it won't change. And I've actually found that I am pretty consistent on that damn Myers-Briggs thing. And for whatever reason, some people popped and said, hey, there's, you know, really the Big Five personalities, the Big Five. And I guess there's Enneagram too, and I started looking at that, but it's like Enneagram, oh, it's so exciting. And the people that love Enneagram, oh, what are you, a seven? I'm a three. Oh, yay. Oh, so there's a whole subculture of people that get into these things. And I do too a bit. I'm a Myers-Briggs and a bit of a DISC guy, because I feel in my heart that I do want to influence people. And influencing is good, right? Especially if you have something good to offer, right? Something positive. So why wouldn't, I mean, there's a lot of negativity in the world, right? And a lot of negative thoughts. So if you can influence in a positive way, then why not, right? If you're going to be an high I influencing, certainly you'd want to influence in the positive way. And we're probably all, well, I don't know. There's some people who are probably low on I guess. I need to meet some of those low I people. But maybe they're great listeners, and who knows, maybe they're introverts too, whatever the heck that is. But those are just classifications. So my discovery and my reactions was, I just finally said, you know, this five, big five, the big five, I never heard of it. What is it? Am I okay? What do we do? Let's take a test. Let's take a test. So there's like this 120 question test or something, and oh, it only takes 5 to 8 minutes. And by the way, oh yeah, don't think too hard on these things. So I'm like, okay, I've done these before. They're similar to Myers-Briggs and things. So I start going through the questions and things. They're just like real simple questions. In fact, I'm going to probably go back and do it again. I'm giving away the secret here. But I want to look at these questions a little more in detail, even though they tell you, like, I'll just take 5 to 8 minutes. Don't think too much about them, right? But here's the thing. So, like, one of the questions, I think, was something like, hey, do you feel anxious about many things? Is that moderately accurate? Is that very accurate of you? Is it neither accurate or inaccurate? Or is it definitely inaccurate, man? You know? And so I took this test, and I think I was a little anxious, and I'm looking for a job, right? So this is real life, live podcasting, unprepared, unscripted things. And so I think I was a little bit bothered when I took the test. This is my reflection in hindsight. But anyways, the scores came back, and I'm like, holy crap, there's 5 traits, right? And there's like extroversion, right? Extroversion, I'm ENTP in Myers-Briggs. I kind of expect myself to be pretty extroverted person. I think a lot of people say that, yeah, you're extroverted, man. You're like uber extroverted or something, right? So I only scored like 56% out of 100 on extroversion. And the conclusion was, you're average. You're average on extroversion. Then I'm like, that's interesting. I don't know if I really agree with that. And, but again, you know, you got the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? Well, that's kind of an interesting concept. You can Google that, the Dunning-Kruger effect. So, I put, and maybe that's a good way of explaining my reaction to these things. But so then the 5 personalities, one of the extroversion, I came out like average. Then agreeableness, right? You know, how agreeable, which I know situationally I'm not. There's many situations where I'm just like digging my heels in. It's usually religious leaders that want to manipulate me or, you know, give me something to do, tell me how to live my life or do something, right? These are the rules, these are the correct behaviors and crap like that. So I usually don't agree with that. So there's definitely a group of people that do not think I'm agreeable at all. So if they were scoring me, they would say, hell no, Mike is like zero on agreeableness. And yet my score was like above average, like 56, 60 or something. I think it was even higher than my stinking extroversion. You know, so that's looking good. Those personality traits are looking good. Then I got to conscientiousness. Oh, how conscientious is this person, right? And I think I got like a 1 out of 100. So I was like very low on conscientiousness. And there's subcategories within that, like altruism. Like I am like really zero on altruism, right? But what's kind of strange is I think I'll eventually be like superly altruistic or something, right? Whatever. So I got really low on conscientious. And then openness to experience. And I think I scored like 46 or below 50. I was like below, like they gave me a result of like average, your average on openness and experience. And I'm thinking, fuck, that's weird. I mean, like who goes to fucking Germany and works for a German company for 5 years and doesn't have a way back to the United States? I think that's pretty fucking open to experience. But, you know, that's just my 5 years of life. I mean, you know, 5 to 8 minutes of answering questions tells the real truth, right? Oh, there's a sarcastic comment. So you see where I'm kind of going with this, like 5 to 8 minutes answering 120 questions. How much, I put way too much weight into these questions because the next category, the fifth category of personality is neuroticism. Oy, neurotic, right? And you're listening to this and you're probably like, oh yeah, Mike, I think Mike, you're fucking pretty neurotic, right? No, man, you're so fucking neurotic. And that's what my score was. It was like 85 out of 100. And I'm like, fuck. First of all, neuroticism has so negative, right? It's, first of all, it starts with an N, neurotic, and negative is N, you know, so they both start with N. I just think, like, no, neuroticism, no. People can't stand neurotic. If you told somebody, you know, in an interview, because I'm in the interview mindset right now. So, you go in an interview, first 30 seconds, so, hey, tell me about yourself. Well, let me tell you, my number one personality trait is the Big Five. You ever heard of the Big Five? Yeah. Well, the Big Five, people are probably like, sorta. I think may have heard the Big Five. They're probably like me. I don't know much about this thing, right? But if I lead out and say, well, so tell me about myself. Well, I took this test in 5 to 8 minutes, answered 120 questions, and my highest personality trait is fucking neuroticism. Isn't that sound great? You know, can I have the job now? So I'm like, fuck, you know, and I'm like, I know other people say, oh, Mike, you're so honest. You're so honest. You can't lie, you know. So now I'm stuck because I'm like, well, I took a test. I'm like, I got a fucking 85 on neuroticism, baby. So I live with that all day yesterday, and I'm like, fuck, you know. And then I started like Googling shit, like, what do you do if you're neurotic, you know? Oh, we got little coyotes running across, bud. You don't even see the coyote over there. He's going where you usually walk. Coyote! Yay! Yippee-yay! So, what the heck? So, yeah, so I'm like miserable. I'm like Googling, like, shit, what do you do if you're neurotic? I'm high neurotic. Someone help me. I'm high neurotic. So I'm like, oh, Jordan Peterson. Oh, Google. Oh, all these personality things. Oh, wow. Personality. Oh, yeah, Jordan Peterson. Oh, professor, Toronto. Oh, books. Wrote a book, 12 some bullshit things. I don't know what he's talking about. 12 things. Famous, big top $1 million bestseller. Whoa, Jordan Peterson. Let's watch his videos. Oh, lectures. Oh, neuroticism. You can have, you know, you could spend your whole life. If you're like in the 1 percentile or top, you know, I guess I would be in the 2%, 20th percent. I'm not in the, I guess I was in the, I don't even know. I forget the percentile things. Can you believe that, people? I forgot it. Bud sniffs out the coyote now, so we're tracking the coyote. Bud, slowly. I can't see the coyote more. He went up the hill, but we're going to track. Bud's on the scent now. He's pulling me on the leash. I can feel him. He's after this coyote. He smells it. So, I'm in a high percentile, so you watch a video from Jordan Peterson. It's just like matter of fact, they're like, oh man, you know, neurotic. Oh, you got to make yourself a schedule, man. That's the solution. Get a schedule. And I'm like, oh shit, oh man, I got to get a schedule. Yeah, I'm pretty much in the unstructured time for me. Oh man. I guess I really like working because it gives me 40 hours of structured time during the week. Oh yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. I'm fucking neurotic, man. I'm neurotic. Oh. And then I'm like, okay, what about this Jordan Peterson guy, you know? And then I get this podcast I listen to for like an hour about these Christianity Today. What is it about Jordan Peterson? Well, he's not a Christian, you know. He talks about the Bible and Genesis, and you know, and he's got all these theories, and you know. But he's not, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he's really a believer and believes in Christ and stuff. You know, he's just very good. And this other, the general introduced me and reminded me of this Jordan Peterson last week. And he says, oh, yeah, Jordan Peterson does these interviews. And he says he's very careful about every word that he says. He's very careful about it. And the interviewer is trying to trip him up or something. And he was just like very patiently using his psychological mind tricks, really, on the woman, right? So where am I going with this? So I'm kind of miserable about it, not liking it, thinking about this is dumb, you know. And maybe Jordan Peterson isn't like the genius on this stuff, and he's real smart. But does he have like the spirit? Does he have really understand that we're all broken to some extent, right? And then I went through the day, and then late in the afternoon, I'm like, you know what? let me take this test again. 24 hours later, I kind of got myself in a little mood, a different position. So let me answer these things instead of like the first thing that comes to your mind. Let me think about these questions as I answer them, and not to try to fool it, but just think about it, right? And so what I notice is like, well, one of the questions that comes back to me is like, well, do you feel anxious or excited or something about many things, you know? And I'm like, well, it depends upon what's popping into my head at the moment, right? So I think the first time I took the test, I was like all wrapped up about like, oh shit, I need a job. I got to find a job. And then the second time I took it, 24 hours later, I was like, well, let's calm down. Let's think about this, how we're answering these questions. Let's think about it really. Like, I'm not going to spend 15 minutes taking a test, but I'm actually not just going to go pop the first thing that comes into my head, which is like, are you anxious about many things? I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm anxious. I don't have a fucking job. So yeah, I'm extremely anxious about many things. Oh yeah. And then the second time I took the test, I'm like, okay, let's calm down. I get to this question. There's 120 of them, so it's good because it's kind of confusing, so you can't really plan out how to answer these things. But what I did is I stopped when I got to that question. I just paused for like 1 second, and I thought, what are many things? I mean, looking for a job really isn't a thing. That's a situation. So then I thought, wait, what's a thing? Well, my Mercedes-Benz S550, that's a thing. Am I anxious about that? No. I love my Mercedes-Benz S550. I love that beast of a thing. And I'm not anxious about it at all. I just enjoy it. So I'm like, nope, that's not accurate. So bingo bango, my neuroticism starts going down. All because I think for 30 nanoseconds to answer the question. So what am I getting at? I went through, I said, hey, as I started answering these questions, I go, hey, I'm not really thinking very carefully about these things. I'm just like throwing out my emotions out answering these questions. So why don't I just like take a little time, think about them, and answer them still honestly. I'm not trying to fool it. I'm not asking myself like, oh, well, if I kind of feel yes, but if I answer no, so, you know, strongly enough, I have a feeling that my neuroticism is going to go down. So maybe subconsciously I was manipulating the second test. I don't know. I don't really think so. I honestly answered. I mean, I thought of the situation. Like I said, what's a thing? Many things. And I'm like, well, my car is a thing. Do I feel anxious about that thing? No. So no, the answer is frickin' no. Now, you know, this is where these tests break down, right? Why do we put so much trust in 120 questions? Like, what's magical about these questions? And I'm sure, like, Peterson will be saying, like, are these the guys, oh, well, it's notionally direct. Yeah, it's notionally correct, you know. You can't really fool it. Like, in the Myers-Briggs, they say, oh, man, you take this test, and if you answer it honestly, you're going to come out the same every time, which... Actually, for all the crap that they give Myers-Briggs, like the big five people are like, oh, Myers-Briggs isn't really, that's really not scientific and accurate. And so far, I found it to be quite good. And the point of my discussion here isn't to say which one's better. I'm just saying I did the big five, and the questions suck. The questions absolutely suck because they're vague. And I'm going to copy all 120 questions because that's the kind of analytical guy I am. Not neurotic, neurotic. I'm not fucking neurotic. Hell no. I'm just thorough and I want to know the truth, right? So when I look at these 120 questions, and they're very short, they're not very long, then we think about it. Let's think about it. Is spending 30 minutes with somebody once a month over a year, is that going to give you a better idea of someone's personality, right? And most people we don't frame each other in these five traits, you know. We don't go like, oh, this person's agreeable, so I'm going to give them a high agreeable. You just get a feeling for somebody, right? Or, oh, they're conscientious. they, you know, someone may think, well, I opened the door for this woman every day, you know, or whatever, and I was polite, you know. Oh, they're so conscientious. But they're not categorizing me the way a psychologist would do it with the 120 questions, right? So someone may have a feeling like that I'm conscientious, but the psychologist would say, oh no, look at your desk, dude. Your desk is a mess. And so you ain't conscientious. If you were conscientious, your desk would have all this stuff organized and put in piles, and you would have everything organized. So that's conscientiousness. And I'm like, no, that's answering a question that comes out this way that you want to put me in that category. And so anyway, the bottom line is I took the test again, taking a, you know, just thinking a little bit about stuff. And my neuroticism went down, man, to like 40, from 85 to 40 in 24 hours. And I just listened to a video from Jordan Peterson that said, oh man, if you're highly neurotic, man, you know, you would probably have to spend your whole life doing nothing but trying to reduce your neuroticism. And I'm like, oh, really? Actually, it took me 24 hours to reduce my neuroticism by quite a bit. So, and it's just by answering the questions, which make more sense than the first time I went through it. So, I don't know, you know, whoever's listening to these podcasts can probably still say, well, Michael, I get it, you got your neuroticism down, but I still think you're neurotic. But again, if you're only 20% neurotic and I'm 40, well then, yeah, I look more neurotic than you do. But there's 7 billion people on the planet, and I'm sure I can find a hell of a lot more people that are more neurotic than I am. So this is that relative Gaussian distribution view of the world. That, yeah, we all have a bit of narcissism, which isn't even part of the thing, but we all have some amount of neuroticism, right? Maybe you only have 5. Maybe you're super low. Great for you, you know? Hey, you know? But most of us are probably in the middle somewhere. And I'm not really an extreme neurotic. I'm extreme, like, something else. I'm an extreme ENTP debater, that's for sure, right? What am I doing? I'm debating with this dude's framework, with this test. I'm debating the test. I'm saying the test is BS. And I just proven it without being like super sneaky. I honestly answered a second time, thinking a little bit, still got it done in 5 to 8 minutes, didn't overthink it, right? I just took the damn test again. And actually my conscientious level went way up. I'm not sure exactly why, what kind of questions it were that when I'm feeling moody and down, I scored myself, quote unquote, negatively for conscientiousness. But the second time I came out, I think, above average on conscientiousness, 24 hours later. Gee, don't, you know, and then the answer isn't like, don't go to a therapist anymore, just redo the test. I mean, the answer is kind of like, hey, there are going to be times in our lives when our personalities just go wacko. And they're just off. But that's not the baseline of our whole life. You know, it can change. And instead of, like, for me, like, getting all obsessive about, like, oh, shit, I am screwed, I've got this super high neuroticism thing. No, it's like, get some perspective. Look at the questions a little more carefully and think about it. You know, don't get tricked into answering them based on the mood I'm in at the time. Use a little brain power and go, no, I'm not anxious about many things. What does many things mean? You know, I already said that my car is a thing and I'm not anxious about it. I got to change the oil. Does that mean I'm neurotic? Because I know that I got to change the oil and it's been too hot to do it. So, you know, it's just coming to my mind now that I should... change the oil. But I'm not anxious about many things. And I got to do the dishes, you know. Am I anxious about it? No, I'll just go do it. You know, just go do it. And so, Bud had a nice walk. I'm back, almost back home. And the big five, neuroticism, big five personality. It's not just neuroticism, but it's conscientiousness, openness, agreeableness, extroversion. So yeah, it's kind of fun to do these tests. But consider that you spent 5 to 8 minutes answering some questions. And can that possibly be the sum total of your whole frickin' life? Of course it can't be. It's 5 to 8 minutes when you're answering questions when you're in a certain mood. It's kind of ridiculous. Now, professionals, psychologists would probably say, you're absolutely right, Michael. You're absolutely right. You know, depending on your mood at the time you took the test will influence your results. Now, they would probably think, like, it can't really influence it as much as I did, which has got some pretty big swings in the results. But I'm like, you know what? I don't care. To me, the lesson learned there is don't get stuck on personality tests. Have a million people said that before me? Yes. Do I need to tell it to myself now? Yes. Do those million people before me that said the same thing, did I miss it? No, because it wasn't in front of me at the time. So we can only deal with things that come in front of us at the time. And not, I'm working on change. I'm changing myself. I'm not going to try not to anyways. It takes some training and practice. But I'm not going to obsess about future things that I have no control over. I mean, it's a change of habit. And I'm working on it. So, short podcast, 27 minutes. I think it was pretty good. Short bud walk. Going to carry on with my day. So everybody, get some of that grace and peace. And from the biblical perspective, I really love the 2 Corinthians 3, that we're being transformed. We are being transformed by the Spirit of God. And it's not being a better disciple, right? Because when you look at the book of Acts, it's like as soon as you had faith, you were a disciple. It wasn't like you had to go to like a 12-week program on discipleship to become a disciple. I mean, you might become, quote-unquote, a better disciple, but really, you're becoming more like what somebody else thinks you should be, which, again, is something I don't go for, and many people don't either, so I'm probably just speaking to the choir in many cases, but for me, it's an insight that I need to deal with. So we are being transformed, and Lord, help us make a little step forward. Some of you are way, way more mature spiritually and way ahead, and it's just a curve, a growth curve, and we all get on it from different places, and we get on the curve from different backgrounds and different histories, but it doesn't matter. And the last thing I got, since I'm under 30 minutes, I'll finish with a Bob Goff story. He talks about sailing on a little boat from Los Angeles to Hawaii. And funny story, but the bottom line is they got there, they made it. And he was, you know, obsessing about all this navigation thing. He wasn't really obsessing, but a lot of people would. Like, it's 2,600 miles on the ocean with no landmarks, right? You're going by the sun and the stars and looking at stuff. And they made it. 16 days it took them, 16. And when they pulled into the harbor, they were greeted with, you know, congratulations, reads off the names of everybody in the boat, welcome home, right? So they're out on the water, welcome home, and he makes that analogous to, well, someday God's going to welcome us home. This journey we're on is like the ocean. Very few landmarks. Some pirates out there on the seas trying to distract us from our destination. But no matter how we get there, God will welcome us in Hawaii. That's a nice thought, right? Be welcomed in Hawaii with welcome home. So wherever you are, it's probably not Hawaii. So wherever you are, Colorado, Chicago, Arizona, Canada, that's not your home. Hawaii is closer to your home. Yeah. Read Bob Goff. All right, folks, where am I at? 30 minutes. Grace and peace. Love everyone always. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.